Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited on this afternoon, this balmy afternoon, I think we should say, which is crazy for Arizona, to invite back a friend who's been on with us before, Chris Yap with Gabtech Global, and he is the founder and CEO. Welcome back.
I'm very happy to be back here. Thank you.
Yes, and you have had some massive growth since you were here last.
Yes, we have actually expanded. We've grown, doubled actually from the first year and from last year to where we are today. We've doubled again, actually. We've just moved to a larger facility. We're in a 300 square meter office right now with 50 workstations, and we started with 5.
Oh, wow.
Less than 2 years ago.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been really working hard at this, but this is not new to you. And so I'm obviously familiar with Gabtech Global and what you're doing. Let's start fresh for our listeners who didn't have the advantage to hear you the last time you were with us. And we also shared the mic with several other kind of collaborative buddies of yours.
Sure.
So today it's just you and me.
Yes.
So let's back up. Who is and what is Gabtech Global LLC?
So Gabtech Global, it's an outsourcing company. We're based here in the U.S., though our fulfillment operations is offshore. We are in an island called Bohol in the Philippines. And what we do is we help startups and growing companies grow further. We help them outsource menial tasks. This could mean virtual assistant services. We do that. We also do call center services for outsourced customer service. And we also do link building. Those are the three focus in our outsourcing solutions.
And has it always been that? Have you always had the VA part of it, or is that a new division?
So the VA, we just launched that actually early this year,
okay.
But that is growing like it's crazy. We didn't realize the demand for it. We kind of focused on the enterprise accounts, but when we added the small, medium segment on the VA side, we're getting a lot of traction. I mean, in just from the beginning of this year, we closed, I'd say about 5-6 clients already.
Wow.
And I think that's going to drive a lot of the growth this year for the company.
Can you tell us how you're defining enterprise versus small business?
Sure. So we don't define it. We don't classify it per client's revenue size. It just depends on the number of FTE or full-time employees that they would require from us.
Okay.
So anyone who would require 5 or more dedicated personnel, I consider that's an enterprise level. But for those who would just require like 20 hours a week or maybe 1 full-time a month, that's more on the small, medium sector.
And how does that work, let's say, for a small business that only needs part-time? What does that look like for them? Do they just work with you to create an agreement? And who is it, a dedicated person all the time? Can you walk us through what would maybe onboarding look like for someone like that? And,
sure.
And maybe give us an example of that type of a client.
The best way to respond to that is give you an example of an existing client, right? So we have a client. He is a fitness instructor. So we do 2 hours of work for him every day. Right. And what we do is we respond to his social media inquiries, and then we post, we comment on Instagram accounts of his target audience. And that's his way to organically grow his followers. So it's really there's just a set of instructions that we just repeat day in, day out. As far as the onboarding process, so we have a new client worksheet. So, you know, we take your basic information, just basic instruction, what you expect from us. And then we do a kickoff call, just make sure that we're clear on what's expected from us. And you've got a dedicated VA, a virtual assistant, but you also have a dedicated relationship account manager. So the VA is the person you talk to every day. You give instructions to, he or she reports back to you on what was done during the day. But you have, if you have escalation issues that you have to escalate, you've got an account manager that you can speak with. So I don't have to be involved in the whole process. And obviously, because we're trying to grow this, and that's the only way you can scale it up, is if you have the system. So as early as now, we're developing, and I think we've developed the right process and system already. So that's how it looks like when we've got a new client and how the process looks like when we're actually fulfilling the service.
It's a great example. In my prior life to Phoenix Business Radio, I co-owned $99 Social.
Oh,
and
awesome.
So we had content specialists, and we really just focused on digital marketing and really social media. So we didn't have the VA piece or even the phone answering services, sure, that sort of stuff. But having that manager in place, that account manager to answer some of those harder questions, or if things are not quite working well and we need to tweak it, mm-hmm, and in this case, the VA or the content specialist couldn't handle it, then we would escalate it, as you mentioned. And it was just the smart thing to do, because it's all around building relationships with, sure, the people that you provide service to.
And that's the, I guess, major advantage working with Gaptic Global as far as VA is concerned, is, you know, when you hire a VA, you're actually not hiring an individual. You're hiring a team behind you with multi skills. So let's say, for example, this client, we started with a social media management, but now they want us to actually do some upgrades on their website, and now they want us to build links for their SEO as well. That's not the talent of the current VA who's doing, right, work for him, but we've got those people too. So now we've got a team actually working for him.
And you can grow with him, or he can grow with you, right?
Yes.
So when he's ready, just giving this example of, mm-hmm, of this personal trainer, the more you take off his plate,
yes,
the more successful he can be. And he can focus in what I would call, many of us call, his zone of genius, mm-hmm, and let, like you said, get rid of these menial tasks that really are what we would call the, you know, $15 to $20 hour tasks, and he can focus on the $250 to $1,000, $1,500 an hour tasks, you know,
exactly.
Now, I threw out the $15 to $20 hour range. That's what I kind of have seen really as a kind of a low ball,
yeah,
price on Fiverr or some of these other, you know, VA hubs.
Sure.
How do your price rates compare to that? And again, I'm talking very kind of loosely. So,
sure. So our rates for this thing, like for example, that we're doing for this fitness instructor, the social media management, our price starts at $6 an hour.
How do you do that, Chris?
Well, okay. So I guess let me back up a little,
yeah,
bit. You know, when we set this company up, we wanted to address three problems, like real problems, right? One is, as an entrepreneur, like you and I, we only have 24 hours in one day. You know, we got to juggle our time between family, you know, our business. And so what we want to do is, if we can take those menial tasks and do it for you so you can focus on the meaningful things you got to do in a day, that's what we want to do. And second, you know, I set up the operations in Bohol. You know, Bohol is actually known as a tourist destination in the Philippines. But now that it's got the right infrastructure, they've got one of the hardest working people, I'd say, in the world, and the most honest people in the world as well. And they've got the communication skills. I'm not personally from there. I was just fortunate that my VA for like 6 years was from there. When I decided to set up an operation there, I wanted, you know, we did a small test if we could actually replicate her with the quality of English, the attitude. And turns out a lot of the people there are similar talent-wise and attitude-wise. And I said, this is where I want to, you know, this is the place where I want to help. So when I started Gaptic, it was really to help the entrepreneurs and the people over there. I mean, I don't know if you remember, I was sent to the Philippines back in 2005, basically to sell Philippines as an outsourcing hub of the world.
For a different company.
Yeah, for a different,
yeah,
company. And in doing that, I was able to help create over 40,000 jobs in the Philippines.
I do remember that. But, I remember having chills head to toe, just like I do right now.
Right. But, you know, that was kind of focused on the major cities in the Philippines. But over the years, I wanted to create a bigger impact to areas where they have the talent, but they're not really in the radar for the mainstream in the industry. You know, that was Bohol. So when I decided to set up an operation in the Philippines, I chose Bohol. So right now, we've got 25 employees there at the moment, but our goal is to have 100 by end of the year.
It's a big enough island to do that and not take away from hospitality and tourism.
No, it's got over 1.4 million population in that island.
What?
So it's a pretty dense island. And,
wow.
You know, they graduate, I believe, about 3,000 or 4,000 college graduates every year.
And these are entrepreneurial minded individuals. These are professionals.
These are professionals. I wouldn't say necessarily entrepreneurial.
Okay.
But they are college graduates. Like, I'd say 90% of my team members are, you know, they're a degree holder. Some of them are programmers. Some of them, I believe, are nursing graduates. A majority are business graduates. So these are highly educated people that just need to be given the opportunity to have a better life.
And that's what we're trying to do. Where they either grew up or their family
yes.
is, and they want to stay.
And I think the trend that's going to happen since now, especially as we grow over there, I think a lot of these people from Bohol who migrated to Cebu and Manila, they're going to come back. Because if there's any place in the Philippines who kind of want to be with their family, it's really the people in Bohol. And I'm seeing actually that. I've got my management team, they all worked in large, you know, BPO companies in Cebu and Manila, but they're back because they just want to be with their parents, their siblings. And so that's great because now I could really grow there without having to worry about talent availability.
That has to be very satisfying for you.
Absolutely.
I know it was, I remember you saying, and you alluded to it just a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. that it was, you felt that joy when you were brought here to the States to create that connection.
Absolutely.
And now this is your own baby.
Absolutely. So
yeah.
it's hard to find the words to kind of explain the joy. And that's really what's driving me every day. Like, if I know I can make a difference in someone's life, both here in the U.S. and over there. And, you know, this year we also decided to attack another problem that's pretty big in the world is we want to help child poverty. So we partnered with an organization called Food for the Poor. They're based in Florida, one of the biggest international organization, relief organization. And I used to donate in small amounts with them, you know, years back. But now I feel like we have the capability. So we started feeding 10 kids last month. And that's kind of our commitment as of now is feed these 10 kids. So the whole story is, you know, we help business owners multiply their time while creating job opportunities in Bohol. And now while we are able to help feed these hungry children in the poorest of the poorest parts of the world. I mean, you're talking ages 5 years old and below.
Hmm.
And the numbers say that every day, 16,000 kids this age die because they've got no food to eat. And you think about it, it's not their fault.
Right.
So now what we're trying to do is, yeah, we want to grow the business side, help the entrepreneurs, help those people in Bohol while helping now these kids as well. So I think if we can really achieve this, and I think that's why we're getting a lot of success is, you know, people really rally behind us because of this mission that we have. So really, that's why, you know, we say it's more than just a business. You know, we definitely have a mission that we're serious in addressing. And I think we've just been really fortunate that we're getting the traction we're getting right now. And obviously, I'm just really blessed with having an investor like, you know, his name is Thomas Jones. He's listening right now.
Shout out. out to Thomas Jones.
Yeah, shout out to Thomas Jones. He tried to be here, actually.
Oh, that would have been great.
You know, he's based in Atlanta. I'm sorry, in Gainesville, Georgia. And he just couldn't make it with his schedule. But
well, we'll get him on next time.
Next time,
and
we will definitely get
Thomas here. I don't know that Thomas would know this, but or you for that matter. Mm-hmm. Business Radio X originated out of the Atlanta area.
Yes.
So we have four or five studios there, Thomas, wink, wink, and Chris. So whether you're there with him, we'll get you on there
together
as a team or here. And also, we can always have him Skype in too. So we'll definitely get you guys both on because I'd love to hear from his perspective, why partnering with you in this manner and being an investor is important to him personally and professionally. So, again, shout out to him. And I, again, we said this when we were in the lobby before we came on air. We were applauding each other for the growth we've had. Yours has been quite a bit more massive than mine. But you really spoke to that you couldn't have done it alone, that you had to have someone like Thomas there to help support financially because of your bigger vision and the way that you're framing the business to help so many stakeholders.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. There's no way I could have done this myself. And like I said, I'm just really blessed that I've got a guy like Thomas. You know, when Thomas invested on this, our vision, we know what we're going to do. And, you know, he didn't even buy in because of the money he's going to make. He bought in because of what we could achieve, the significance we can create for the entrepreneurs, for the business owners. And now he's super excited. He's very familiar with Food for the Poor. They've been donating to that organization for a while as well. So now that he knows, too, that we added this third mission. It's just an amazing feeling that you are actually able to do this. And, you know, before we started this was just a dream. We started from zero. And Thomas just, I guess, you know, he just trusted me.
Well, that's what I was listening for. I was not going to let you off the hook because you were very, I remember this. I think I even said it to you last time. You're a very humble man. Oh, there is a great amount of humility in you. Right. And I see it again today. This is only the second time we've met. We've had a handful of email exchanges.
Sure.
When an investor or, you know, a group of investors invest their own hard-earned money, mm-hmm. they have to believe in a mission and a vision for the future, but they really have to see who you are.
For sure.
So don't skip over that piece. He really did see that in you. And clearly, there's this wonderful connection back and forth as well, right, to share this vision.
Absolutely. Thomas and I, we definitely share the vision. You know, Thomas is an amazing man. He's got an amazing family. And I'll just kind of interject on that note. You know, Thomas has got two kids of his own, but they actually adopted a child from China a few years ago. Otherwise, this child would have been in an orphanage. We don't know. So that tells you what kind of a person, you know, Thomas is and his wife, Suzanne. They're just amazing, amazing people. I mean, and then now to partake in this mission that he bought in and to see things are happening. We're moving. We got traction. It's like, it's an amazing feeling. And then last month, I was able to kind of give him a little money back from his investment less than 2 years ago. To me, that's an amazing joy on my end.
Because frequently, it's a 10-year,
yes.
You know, you're waiting 10 years, yes. 7 to 10 for that first opportunity to see some of that money back.
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Last year, we had a small profit. So in less than 2 years, we were actually on a little profit already. So I'm super excited with what we can achieve in the months, years to come.
So before we talk a little bit more about what you're up to and who you serve so that our listeners can see if this is a fit for them, mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about conscious capitalism because it fits with what we were just discussing. And you heard at the beginning of the segment, and you'll hear me say it at the end, that one of our location sponsors is Conscious Capitalism Arizona. And I can't remember if I asked you if you're familiar with that organization or not.
Not very.
So it's a nonprofit. It's worldwide. In fact, in April at Wild Horse Pass, not too far from the studio, there will be the International Conscious Capitalism convention, a week-long convention where people from all over the world will come and have a conversation, much like the one we're just having right now, mm-hmm. around stakeholders, not sacrificing one stakeholder relationship for another. So taking really good care of your employees and your vendors and your investors and the world at large, in addition to the people that you serve, that we as conscious capitalists, and I'm including you in that phrase, it's just a, you know, it's been around for a long time, Whole Foods, Home Depot, some of the folks that we've had a chance to kind of watch through, you know, starry eyes, have been setting the stage for this philosophy. It's no longer, you know, work hard and grind and stab everybody as you're doing it. So to wake up one day and while you have this wonderful nest egg and you've built up this great enterprise, and you have nothing to show for it from a loving perspective.
Sure.
Or you know, competition where it's unhealthy and you're not, you know, you're not breaking bread with people who you could might collaborate with. So what, when you speak to giving back, not only to the people on this island who you're giving these rich opportunities for them to grow and expand and feed their families and really stand in their profession, but also helping our business owners here in the States. And of course, I know you're headed globally mm-hmm. as well. But to take care of those who are in abject poverty is a big deal. And that's one of the things that we stand for as an organization. We hope by 2040 that we can eradicate abject poverty. That's something, like you said a moment ago about GabTech Global and yourself personally, that's something I can stand behind. I know that when I succeed at Business Radio X, and I help other business owners do the same, I am making a strategic difference in the lives of people all over the world, because we know that capitalism has been the most consistent source of taking people out of poverty. And as you said, these children, these babies, what'd you say about up till 5 years old? Mm-hmm. It's not their fault that they're not eating.
It's not.
And nor is it likely their parents, or maybe even the generation before that. This is, you know, this is our opportunity to give back and teach and guide. There's enough opportunity for us as business owners to spread it worldwide. So again, kudos to you and thank you for taking on that mission and celebrating it. Question around that. Mm-hmm. Are you vocal when you begin to, you know, work with these companies, small, medium, large, and these enterprises about this mission of yours to help feed the poor?
Not exactly.
Well, I'm glad we're doing it today.
Because, you know, we don't want to be, you know, how do I say it? I don't want people to think that we're using that as a marketing
Got
point.
It.
And that's
a gimmick.
Yeah, it's not the gimmick at all. I think we just recently added that in our website. It's really more of encouragement for the clients more than a marketing gimmick, because it's not. And really, our goal is, I mean, my goal is to be able to feed one child for every employee I have. That's really my goal. And I think by probably in a month or two, we're going to be at that level.
Oh, wow.
So like I said, I've got 25 employees right now, but we just started feeding like 10 kids. So I think in about 2 months, we should be able to do 1:1.
And your employees know this.
Yes.
That's got to feel amazing.
Oh, yeah. They're... They know what we're trying to do. My employees are very proud of what we do. They know that the mission there is to grow, to help, to provide decent jobs over there. Because if they're not working, like, you know, for us at the moment, they'd be in the tourism industry and they'd be making probably just about half of what they're making right now.
What industry?
In tourism.
Oh, in tourism, sure.
Yeah, because Bohol is really known for tourism. But now that, you know, we're providing those opportunities, like I said, we've got programmers working for us doing programming stuff, because, you know, if it's not for this, they'd probably be in the tourism industry, probably making maybe 50% less of what they're making right now. And to think that we've got 25 employees that we're helping, you know, raise their family, I can't tell you how joyful that makes me. At the same time, the pressure and you know, the pressure comes with it. But when you think about it, it's like, I want to do more.
Yeah.
I really want to grow. I'm very passionate about helping, providing opportunities. This is my why. I feel like I was really born to do this.
I get you. I feel like the same for me. And I fell into this accidentally. I know you have been doing something similar for quite some time. But mm-hmm. When you land on that thing that, again, I think we said it in the lobby before we got on air, you want to live it, breathe it, die by it. And, and we also have to take our head out of it and our mind out of it to spend some time with family and to recoup and give way to some dreams that we might not see when we're in the grind of it.
Sure.
You talked about cycling as one of your outlets. I meditate and do yoga and make sure that I'm getting out in my garden as often as I can, because while we've been in startup mode, I think fairly close to the same time, right? I am so fortunate and so grateful for everything that's come my way. And my vision is much larger than where I'm sitting right now. And you're nodding your head yes, because I know you speak the same language.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, obviously, the entrepreneur life, it's a lot of ups and downs. You need to have a solid support system. And I know you've got an amazing husband and family who support you. And I got to say, If I don't have the wife I have, Azel, I would not be able. I mean, I've been an entrepreneur since I think 2009. There's been a lot of ups and downs. We lost a lot of money here and there, but I never heard her kind of yak about it. And there were a lot of moments where she actually believed in myself more than I believe in myself.
Oh my gosh, I get that. That's Michael too. Same thing. And we've had the same, not same, but we also have experienced ups and downs.
Right.
I remember standing in a grocery store line just hoping that when I handed her my debit card, there was going to be something on it with my little, you know, 3-year-old at the time. And I also remember, and I don't know if I shared this last time we were together, I remember I've been an entrepreneur now and in business for myself, one iteration of it or another.
Sure.
For, I guess, 12 years now, as long as my little guy has been alive. And my daughter, who's now in her 20s, said to me, I think she was probably about his age, if that math is right, so maybe a little bit older. But she said to me, why can't, when we were struggling, why can't you just go get a job like every other parent, right? I mean, my master's is in organizational management. My bachelor's was in elementary ed. I was a teacher and a vice principal for schools for a long time before going into business for myself. And she's like, why can't you just go do that so we don't have to sacrifice or wear hand-me-downs or whatever? And I heard her and I felt for her, but I also said to her, oh my gosh, I would die on the vine if I were to go back and work for somebody else.
Sure.
I know what my calling is. I know my purpose. And while it means we're all going to have to sacrifice and struggle a little bit, I will get there someday and I am going to make a difference. You know what, Chris, when you were talking earlier, I thought of this, but I didn't mention it. I think you're describing what I like to refer to as the move from success to significance. Success might be defined just by money or monetary things or being able to sell, you know, a business eventually and step away from it and have an exit strategy that gives you, you know, a certain dollar amount. You're talking about legacy and you're talking about making a significant difference on the lives of many, the folks that you're taking care of, these families and kids who don't have food on their table, these employees of yours and teammates and managers who need to have someone like you say, I believe in who you are and I want to see this island. I want to see this area of the Philippines grow and thrive beyond. Tourism's great, but beyond that. And then, of course, the entrepreneurs and the business owners who have the fortunate opportunity to work with your team. So that's a lot of chatting from me. Tell me what's on your heart as we speak to that.
Well, I have a mantra that I've had since we were given an opportunity, you know, to live here in the U.S., and that is success follows significance. So that's been my mantra for the longest time, right? So when I was offered a job to come here to the U.S., it wasn't the best pay. But to me, I didn't really care about it because people would kill to come to the U.S. You know that. And I was given that opportunity. And, you know, with my wife and my only son, Gabby, at that time. And there's not a lot of us who is in this position where, you know, we could actually create jobs over there, get investors here and bring it over there and create jobs. And now it's like me, that's kind of like a continuation. What I'm doing right now is really a continuation of that, except I'm in control. I'm in control of where I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it.
Who you're going to do it with.
Who I'm going to do it with and for. And I think that's the amazing thing about being an entrepreneur is when you're able to visualize something and then see it happen. I mean, and transform that vision into reality. It's an amazing feeling.
There's nothing else like it, I think, besides parenthood.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's a lot like, you know, birthing a child into the world.
That's true. There's a lot of pain.
Sometimes they behave, sometimes they don't. Yeah. Sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
I'm sensing, and I hope that you'll share this podcast with your team.
Absolutely. They're listening. They're actually listening
okay,
right now.
Shout out to the team.
So
as
shout
well.
Out to, and I got to say too, that the only reason, one of the biggest reasons too, why we're having this success is I've got an amazing team over there because I live here. This is where my life.
Right. And your team, most of or all of your team is in the Philippines.
All of them are there. Actually, I take it back. You know, obviously Thomas is here and I've got someone who's helping on the technical operations side. He's actually based in Bulgaria. So that's another twist there. But majority is actually they're in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So the only reason I'm able to do this is because of my four key people over there. So shout out to Norby, Brian, Sarah, and Rob.
Yay!
If not for these guys, and again, you know, also shout out to Marine. If not for these guys, there's no way we could do this. We've got a unique synergy where I'm here, you know, taking care of clients and they're there taking care of operation. And again, if I wasn't blessed with those people, there's no way this is going to work.
I totally agree. Yeah. Now, I've got another question on my heart that I feel like if I didn't ask, our listeners would be wanting me to ask this.
Sure.
We're talking about the services that you offer mm-hmm. is varied, and some of it includes call centers.
Sure.
So answering the phones, mm-hmm. you know, when you're out somebody's out making money doing their thing, mm-hmm. you can have that team answer the phone for you.
For sure.
I find it frustrating mm-hmm. at times. Oh, yeah, you're smiling. You already know where I'm going.
Yes.
I find it frustrating, and I'm gonna admit off the top of this conversation that this is a very Caucasian or white bread thing to say, but mm-hmm. if I'm calling a company that I know it's in the States and I get somebody who answers the phone, the rep on the other end, when I can't understand them because it's English as a second language or it's just hard to hear or have them understand me, I get so frustrated. How can you speak to that? Your English is a second language for you.
Yes.
And you have very well articulated.
Thank you.
Can you say that your team also has, speak to a little bit about that and am I rude? I'm not trying to be disrespectful when mm-hmm. I ask or speak to that, but I just get so dang frustrated sometimes. It's not all the time. Even if they're sweet and friendly, if I can't understand what they're saying, I'm asking for a manager.
Absolutely. And these are real concerns. And I'm very mindful of this. And because of that mindfulness, we have developed a process. So it starts with the recruitment, like I mentioned to you earlier. We don't necessarily hire just experienced call center agents because, you know, experienced call center agents, they also come with disadvantages.
Habits.
Yeah, because it's a lot of them are hard to train. So when we hire someone, and again, that's where it starts, we got to make sure that they actually can speak English. That's number one. Obviously, if you can't speak or we can't understand you, or more so you don't have the IQ to comprehend a problem, then you're not fit for this job. So it starts with that. And then second, we do have a process, training and coaching, ongoing coaching and training. We do a lot of Americanization training. So this includes, you know, just familiarization on the different states. I mean, as basic as that, right?
Right, because there is a difference.
Absolutely. And then, and within the U.S., there are differences as well in like, what do you call this? Just intonation and accents. Like, it's different from the South and it's different from pretty much the rest of the country. And then we also do training on soft skills like effective listening. So we have this in place, and we're doing this because my management team worked for, like, you know, largest call centers, BPO in the world. And that's why I think it's, I've got that luxury that they're in our team, because what they learn there, they're implementing in our, you know, small organization. And that's how we're addressing them. And really, let's say, for example, this client that we have right now, they're an online supplement store. We take their customer service. We are very heavy on scoring. So one of the biggest KPI or key performance indicator we have is we measure if it's resolved on the first call. And, you know, we have tools and system in place to do QA on those. Because if they're calling again, that means you didn't do a good job. It's either they probably just hang up because, like you said, they didn't understand you and they want to talk to someone else. And so we're very heavy on measuring those KPIs. We've got those processes and training in place. And really, that's the best we can do to address that.
But to go to your point earlier, it's just starts in recruitment. It starts in when you're hiring.
Sure.
Yeah,
yes.
That's very refreshing to hear.
Yes.
And it's got to be reassuring, of course, for the busy and savvy business owner and or enterprises that rely on your team to take the calls and to manage all of that for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. I'm trying to think of what else to ask. So we've given a couple examples of the VA service, mm-hmm. Social media, mm-hmm. obviously call center. Is there any other aspect of what you find your customers and clients are looking for and listening for, that services that you provide that we haven't mentioned?
Yeah, so what I find interesting is, so I was with my friend realtor, Mike, I think last week, and I mentioned to him about the service, and he said, Chris, I think there's something you can do in the real estate industry, which is like project management or just managing the documents. So I think what happens is when they close a deal, there's so many documents that they have to chase.
So many moving parts.
So many moving parts. So it's like following up on, hey, customer, where's the document that we requested? We need that for closing, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't really want to do that because they'd rather spend their time with clients than chasing those. So we're looking into those opportunities as well. The other thing is, I spoke to an orthodontist and I told him about the possibility of us taking like after hours answering service. I mean, because according to him, he's got like 10 to 15 like missed calls after hours.
All right, because my toothache and my need for a dentist doesn't necessarily happen between 9 and 5.
That is correct. And I told him, well, imagine if we got someone, because not everyone's going to leave a voicemail, right?
But if a live voice picks
But if
up,
there's someone there who's just going to take right. your appointment, you're losing 10, 15 customers a day. And imagine if we can, you know, take those and just, it's as simple as getting, you know, taking the call and putting them in your appointment calendar. That's 10 customers that you're losing right now that you're going to get.
And again, let's talk about the benefit of working with GabTech Global.
Mm-hmm.
It's GabTech Global, right?
GabTech Global, yes.
I was going to switch something around the other way. The price point that you get to work with folks mm-hmm. keeps the price reasonable for a company so they don't price themselves out of the opportunity to expand and have some of these problems solved.
Absolutely.
Right?
So, I mean, we could, I mean, if you look at, like you said, you know, if you go to Viverr, Upwork, VAs from overseas would cost, you know, $8, $10. That's overseas. If you hire a local, you're looking $20, $30.
And sometimes even more than that
without
the actual benefit of getting that much better quality work. I've had that happen.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And when you hire GabTech Global, first of all, we're not working from home. You have professional personnel working in an office with redundant internet, backup power. there's no drama that they can't get out to work because there's no electricity or the daughter's sick. Or sure, that happens. But the thing is, we've got a team.
Yes.
So when you hire us, you're not hiring one individual. You're hiring a multi-talented, multi-skilled team. Like I mentioned earlier, it started with social media management, expanded to web development, to SEO. And we just even finished writing an ebook for a client. So we've got ghostwriters
as well.
Yes, we do have content writers. They're very Americanized. And that's a great thing about working with the Philippine-based professionals is our culture is so aligned. We're so Americanized. Well, you know, we were colonized by Americans for a long time. But that's stayed with us. Like, you know, it's interesting. You go to our office, you look at what they're drinking. They're drinking either Coke or Pepsi.
Right.
They're not drinking a local soda. Probably see more McDonald's there
right?
than you know, local food chains. So, yeah, that's, you know, very Americanized, absolutely.
You've given a lot of examples of the different types of business owners that you work with. I'm hearing that really your services have such breadth and width that and depth, really, that you could work with really any company, any industry or vertical.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know we've spoken about, you know, what we're trying to do with the people in Bohol and, you know, the impoverished kids. But I definitely want to highlight the value that we're providing the entrepreneurs. And that is, this is the closest you can get to cloning yourself. Like I said earlier, you've got 24 hours in one day. Imagine if you've got one or two people doing your work while you're asleep, or maybe while you're spending, I mean, instead of doing those menial tasks, you spend time with your family, your kids, your spouse, or yourself. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to empower the entrepreneurs so they can do more. Like I said, you've got 24 hours a day. What if you can multiply that? I mean, it's very powerful. What do you want to do with that?
Well, part of me wants to spend it with my family or having some of that time to go for a, you know, a run or a bike ride or whatever
sure.
it is, or girlfriend's time with my husband. But to be honest with you, the first thing I thought of while you said that is, and I made this point early on in this segment today, when I'm looking at the things that I have on my plate to effectively run Phoenix Business Radio X, I have to keep asking myself, as any entrepreneur business owner has to ask, is this task worth my time, or is this something that I can hand over to somebody else so that I can be focused on money, you know, and business building opportunities? For me, that's a show concept meeting with a business owner to talk about what would it look like for you to have your own show here broadcasted from the studio. And the more of those conversations I have, the more I have sponsors and the more my business grows. But if I'm the one doing the social media and if I'm the one booking my guests and I'm the one running the soundboard while somebody else is hosting, I will never get to grow the business. So yes, to all the things that you've shared, this becomes an extension of who I am as a business owner and becomes this team without having to have them as full-time employees.
Absolutely.
And paying them obviously rates that sometimes are astronomical for the quality of service that you're getting.
For sure. For sure. And again, that's the value that we're really, you know, trying to promote to the business owners. It's really being able to multiply your time. And, you know, you lose money, you can get it back. Time, you can't. And it's like, that's why I said, this is the closest you can get to cloning yourself. And just be more productive. And again, we start our rates at $6 an hour.
I was just going to ask how your pricing model works. So thank you for reading my mind.
Absolutely. So we start for like the general VA services, like, you know, if we were to post in your behalf or comment in social media, things like that, or do an online research. So what we've done for another company is they wanted to target all companies who will be doing like conventions or conferences.
Sure.
Because they're a consultancy firm. And you can't just buy that list. So they hired us to actually manually mine database of conferences. And we were able to do it, I think, in like 1 week, gave them like 1,000 companies.
I feel like that was one of the greatest takeaways from the first time you were here.
Yes.
We really focused and highlighted that a lot because that was one of the things that you really became a master at when you came to the U.S., right?
Yes.
Okay, so I didn't mean to take that away, but for our listeners, if we don't have time today to really go into this, go back and look up Chris Yap and GabTech Global. Excuse me, I don't know why I trip on my tongue on that. GabTech Global.
Yes.
On Phoenix Business Radio X and pull up that other interview because that was phenomenal. So this particular example, they can't get that information easily. You had to mine that information for them.
It. Yep.
And that, I mean, normally if they were doing that themselves, one, the resources and the time and the finance for it would price them out of the opportunity to have that data.
Well, absolutely. Well, number one, it's not readily available. No one's going to sell it to you even if you want to buy it, right? And if you were to do it yourself, you're basically shortchanging yourself. I mean, why not spend $6 an hour instead of you? You probably make worth like $50 to $100 an hour. So just do the math there. And, you know, we've got our processes. We've got systems. Like if we just have the name of a person, but if we have the company name, we could actually get the email address of that person. And there are tools around that. We've got subscriptions and
but as a normal business owner or an entrepreneur, we wouldn't know that the ins and outs of how to do that. And it would take us a long time to figure out, or again, way too much money to have somebody, you know, who says they can do it for us.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what are we calling this product or this
Well, it's still under the umbrella of virtual assistant, but we call it data mining.
Data mining.
Yeah, it's really data mining. One of the things we do. And let's say, for example, you want to research. Let's say you want to prepare a business plan. You want to do some market research on a specific business type or industry. Of course, you can do that. But if you give us a set of parameters, like what kind of results you expect, or maybe if there are sites that you want us to focus, we can do that. Like I said, we're not a digital agency marketing. We don't provide the strategy. We provide the labor. So I want to make sure that I'm clear on the differentiation there. We're not the digital marketing agency.
But you can do the research and the robust volume underneath whatever that strategy is.
Right, exactly. We're not going to advise you on the strategy, how to get things done. That's why we expect the client to know what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We just do it. We provide the labor. So that's the value we provide.
I'm blown away. And I had forgotten about that aspect of your company. So this is great that you remembered to share it. Going back to call center, we kind of gave the example of, hey, you know, you own a medical practice and, you know, everybody goes home at 5-6 o'clock at night and people happen to keep calling. It would be great to have a live voice. Do you also, when we talk about call centers, and related to data mining, do you actually have a sales team? So on behalf of business owners and on enterprises, people could be following up on warm leads or cold calls, that kind of thing too?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked that. In fact, we just closed a deal yesterday where we are going to be doing appointment setting for this business here. They're based here in Phoenix. So what they do is they sell marketing data. So what we're going to be doing is we're actually going to be calling on business owners who actually require those kind of information, who's doing, you know, I guess direct mails or telemarketing. And we generate the interest and then we set the appointment for the sales guys to close. So we've done this several occasions and we've done it successfully. So I'm excited for this specific project because, you know, it's a revenue generation for them and there's definitely some growth that I'm seeing in the horizon. So I'm excited about this opportunity as well.
Very good.
Yeah.
My gosh. I remembered last time and we only had time together with, you know, three other guests to get a little bit into everything that you have to offer. I do remember you being a very humble man.
Thank you.
Very wise soul, in addition to just this love for these services that you offer the entrepreneurs and business owners in addition to your team. So thank you again for being here. As we close up today's segment, is there anything else that I just want to make sure that we had to, I know it's a lot to ask. You'll be driving home. You're like, darn it. I forgot to tell this, you know, ask this or have Karen speak to this. But is there anything else that you want to speak to share?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, we've discussed in detail the services we can offer, but I think the takeaway there is any task that you feel can be done by someone else where you don't have to do it, we can do it for you. I think that's the bottom line. And as far as rates, I already mentioned, you know, what our rates are. And again, we're here to help entrepreneurs really grow. I'm an entrepreneur myself. I've been in that journey. I still am. You Clearly. And I are still in that journey. So that's really my passion, is if I could help my fellow entrepreneurs grow, because there's nothing more joyful than seeing someone grow that you've helped. And, you know, before I actually set up Gaptic Global, I was a consultant. I was helping medium-sized companies, you know, offshore to the Philippines. And one of the things I've done is I've helped this company from Vegas grow, you know, from 10 employees over there. And now they've got, I think, like 300 employees in just 5 years. So imagine how much of a change they're doing for the lives of those people they've affected. And I wanted to do the same, you know, for the smaller startups or growing companies. I mean, if I can do that, that really brings joy to me. I'm very passionate about that.
Chris, what introductions or who can we help you? Obviously, at Phoenix Business Radio, we have a fairly decent network. Mm-hmm. Again, all verticals, all industries. Mm-hmm. What when you're handling these accounts on, you know, stateside, mm-hmm. who can we help you introduce? Like, is there a particular industry that you want to get introduced to, or speak to that a little bit?
Sure. I think I'm seeing a lot of potential growth with those who are sending online, right? And multiple potential projects, from customer service to helping on the social media growth, from graphic design. I definitely want to target those companies. I'm not limited, obviously, but, you know, if I were to kind of work on a specific industry, that's definitely growing. Those who are sending online, whether you're sending, you know, a service or a product online, just, you know, we're seeing a lot of activity currently with our current clients on that end. So we can definitely help that industry.
Great. Tell us how we can get a hold of you and GabTech Global. Mm-hmm. And what does that relationship look like at the beginning? Is it just a conversation or is it an intake form? I think you might have mentioned that.
Sure. So you can learn more about our services in detail, GabTechGlobal.com. That's G-A-B for boy, T for Tom, E-C-H-G-L-O-B-A-L.com, GabTechGlobal.com. And, you know, we've got landing pages there per type of service we offer. So you just put your information there and we usually get back to our potential clients within 24 hours.
Wonderful. Again, been a great pleasure to be with you.
Happy to be here.
I'm really glad you took me up on the offer to come back again. And
For sure.
I sense that we'll do it again because we already said that we wanted to rope Thomas into the conversation.
Yes, we will.
Hopefully he'll give you a thumbs up on a text afterwards. Again, have a great weekend. And this will be a podcast, of course, within a week. And so people can tune in again over and over and over again. And I know that you know this, but I don't think I've ever mentioned this on air before. When you are a guest with us at Phoenix Business Radio, you have our express permission to take the content from these conversations and, repurpose it. So put your team to work on this, Chris, and have them turn, because not everybody will listen to a 60-minute conversation.
Sure.
But you've shared so many little nuggets in this 60-minute session, in addition to when you were here almost a year ago. These are great little stories and vignettes and examples of the power that your team offers and the leverage, the time that you save entrepreneurs and business owners. And so we really want to, again, encourage you as one of our guests to use this content and push it out so more and more people know about the great work you're doing.
Absolutely. I've got some ideas on the content already.
Which is why you're here yes. for a second time. Excellent. Well, you've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.